the monsters of the past comes a new generation dedicated to reversing the evil image of their forefathers. Under the leadership of none other than Count Dracula, known as Big D, three teenagers form the do-gooder group named the Dracbear. With special powers, they can transform into super mighty monsters and use their skills against all evildoers, especially the diabolical Dr. Dredd and his renegade rascals, Toad, Fly, Mummy Man, and Vampira, a group known as Ogre, the organization of generally rotten enterprises.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Living with Universal Monsters in 1960s or 70s animated form since 2015. Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
None of that made sense. None of it was true.
Kind of true.
It was not. This came out in 1980.
I was guessing. It gave me a late 60s, mid 70s vibe. Don't tell me it didn't.
It's a holdover from the bad days of Hanna-Barbera, which ran
what
from
were the good days.
It's pretty much the entirety of Hanna-Barbera. But this was, them trying to grasp relevance from late 60s, early 70s, maybe, and, taking a swing at it in 1980. So that's. Like, if it seems dated, it was dated at the time, which is fun.
Who are you, by the way?
Who cares who I am? Let's talk about our guest.
You know what? You don't get a name anymore. A Chan has no name. Today's guest is a comedy superstar, star of the stage. I mean, let's keep it real. The Pack Theater. A tremendous place to be from time to time. Who knows if it's true anymore, but I'm going to guess yes, because she's nodding right now. Erica Curry, you're here today with us. Welcome to Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Thank y'all. Yes, I'm very excited. The Australian division of Hanna-Barbera was the production house of the Drac Pack. I've done my homework.
What?
No, this is phenomenal.
Why? Nope, Don. I don't even want to know. Don't want to know. Okay.
Oh, I'll hyperfixate.
Than me or Chan did. I promise that. So, Erica, what is your relationship with Hanna-Barbera and cartoons in general?
I love cartoons. I like I like knowing what the rules are, and then we can break them and we can bend them. So Toon Logic, where it's like, of course you can survive this fall or do this. It's like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, we're going to suspend all rules because that's not how physics works in this world. Always a cartoon head growing up. Really excited about the new King of the Hill reboot that just dropped on Hulu. I liked a lot of the adult cartoons when I was younger. I was very much into Looney Tunes, Hanna-Barbera, Wacky Races. And then when I got like 9, I was like, I like The Critic and like Duckman. Okay. I'm edgy.
Quality. I get there.
No, wait a minute, Erica. When you say adult cartoons, you just mean the ones that sort of appeal towards the older generation? Or are you talking about the ones that Chan watches all the time?
Oh, no. Not for these eyes. Yeah,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Too much censor.
Sure.
I meant like, Duckman, The Critic, like the oblong, like when Adult Swim lit up my brain. I was like, whoa, this is wild.
The genre is known as adult animation, distinct from distinct from cartoon porn, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Not my jam. Yeah.
No.
Not my jam. But I've always a big cartoon, big cartoon fan always.
And what's your relationship? Also, that's a broad ass question that should be asked of a guest who hasn't actually been on the show before, Ray. Do you remember that Erica's been on the show before, right?
Strawberry Shortcake.
I do remember that Erica's been on the show before, but that doesn't mean that it was long enough ago, that it was soon enough ago that I remembered Erica had been on the show before.
Yeah, no. I mean, to be fair, here's how I asked Erica, or like how I decided who our guest should be tonight. I went through the sheet And I was like, who have we had a guest on, had a guest before that we haven't had on in a long ass time? This is the only way I remember any of these things. I was looking through it like, holy shit, we had Jeff Thompson on? Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Can we put on a green screen?
Oh boy. So
special guest. Speaking of people we have on all the time, ladies and gentlemen, Egon Clark Chan with a toothbrush in his mouth, ready to podcast.
Hey, buddy.
On before this happens. However, anyway, thing is, what is your relationship to monsters, movie monsters, Universal?
Yeah.
That's a better question.
Yeah.
All right.
Huge fan in general. I feel like I was asked to do this episode because my partner in life, Winston Carter, is in a band called Drac and the Swamp Rats. And they are the reimagining of the Universal Monsters. So you got Wolfman, Mummy, Dracula lead, and he plays Frankenstein on the drums.
Sure, sure.
And I feel like I was asked specifically to plug. I mean, they'll have an album coming out this fall. It's a whole thing. There'll be a tour. It's more and more things. But they are monsters that sing about partying and rock and roll. So when I got to see, you know, my old buds, the Mummy, your Frank, Drac, I was like, of course they asked me. So,
hooray.
This is fantastic.
Here's what actually happened. I saw your name on the sheet. I was like, I should ask Erica.
Yeah.
Then I went looking for an episode. I saw, I also went on the sheet and found a cartoon that we hadn't done before. And I looked at the lineup and I was like, oh, there's an episode called Happy Birthday. I completely forgot Ray's birthday, even though we mentioned it in the chat. We mentioned it again in the chat with you. Still kept forgetting to say happy birthday. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make this Ray's birthday greeting. Just going to do this happy birthday.
I read that.
And then I was like, oh, no, you know what? I should swap this so that Gina could be in the episode so that she could wish Ray a happy birthday. I was like, whatever. I already put it in the calendar. And then after that, I was like, oh, hey, wait a minute. Winston's in the band with the, you know what? This works out well.
As someone that loves birthdays, I also just threw a party called Happy Birthday Horses. All thoroughbred racing horses have the same birthday. In the Northern Hemisphere, it's January 1st. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's August 1st. So horses all have the same birthday party to keep them uniform for racing. So I just threw a horse-themed party. And many people attended and said, wait, this isn't your birthday? And I was like, no, it's Happy Birthday Horses. And they're like, oh, I wouldn't have come. I thought it was your birthday. And I was like, no, it's horses' birthday. Birthdays mean a lot to me. And I just feel like horses don't ever get celebrated that way.
So. Well, to be fair, isn't it about time we did the same with people? It's either your birthday on January 1st or August 1st.
End of list. That's There's it. Too many birthdays to remember.
Too many.
Too many.
They actually do that in China. we're never quite sure when my grandmother's birthday was because at some point, like, the records got lost and, like, they do the thing where, like, on a certain day, that's, like, every kid who was born, you know, before then, that's your birthday. So you could do it. It's been done.
Yeah. I like it.
It's been done. I like it.
Well, especially like you get to those like middle birthdays. Like if it doesn't have a 5 or a 0 at the end, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
And once after you hit like 25, at that point you're just done celebrating until you get to them round numbers on the corners.
Yeah.
Like all.
What is your how old are you this year?
Oh, not one with a 5 or a 0, that's for sure. I'm ancient. I'm a Methuselah. I could be 1,000 years old.
I had a 0 this year. I didn't get no big celebration.
Chan finally turned the big 3-0.
I am looking good for my age.
Finally, time you got as old as the rest of us, you know, just getting up there. The young pup, as we call him always.
I've been accused of not looking good for my age, and people don't even know how old I am. That's not good.
You're not looking good, period.
Just in general, I'm not feeling good either, Chan, if that makes a difference.
It doesn't.
But what are you going to do? Anyway, we're talking about the Drac Pack. Because why wouldn't we be?
Oh my God. Fucking 10 seconds into this thing, I was like, this is the fucking worst. It starts out with like, hey, look, all these people are trying to like make, like redeem their parents who did terrible.
It's PR. Yeah, it's PSYOP PR for Americana. Like at one point, Dr. Dredd even says, like, from sea to shining sea, this is some deep level CIA making a cartoon for kids trying to brainwash us that we didn't make mistakes in the past as America, that the universal monsters can be redeemed. I got deep thoughts about this show.
Up to the children to deal with it. Hey, sorry about all that slavery. It's your problem. Oh,
dead. Our bad. Do the good PR.
Seriously, as the thing went on, like from there, it was already at like a 1 out of 10. And then it managed to get lower and started diving into the negative numbers. It was so little happened that I just got unreasonably angry. And
I feel like everything happened. Like this moved so fast. Like this was like Dr. Beast. Like every 2 seconds we were at a new angle. There was a new attempt at a joke. So much happened.
I feel like it moved really fast, but it didn't actually go anywhere. That's what was so wild about it to me.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
I have the whole preamble of like the voiceover from the front. Like I have it all typed out. Like,
well, I need you to read it dramatically. All right. You've already got it.
I'm gonna do it in the voice of the man who did it on the cartoon, the VO. So, from the monsters of the past comes a new generation dedicated to reversing the evil image.
Wait. From the monsters of the past comes a new generation. So these are all of the monsters.
Grandnephew. Grandparents and nephew. Yeah.
Fuck some ladies and made children. These are all children of the beasts.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're dedicated to reversing the evil images of their forefathers under the new leadership of none other than Count Dracula, known as Big D.
Hold on.
You got thoughts about that.
Yeah. Big D.
Thought that was a good idea. Like, again, they're trying to like, hey, what do the kids think is cool? And someone remembered in like 1965, like, hey, the Big Bopper is kind of a big deal, right?
The Big D.
Big D, we got it. And they're only 15 years too late.
Three teenagers form the do-gooder group called the Drac Pack.
All the do-gooders.
Do-gooders. What is this, 1916? Maybe.
What's the root for do-gooders? Yeah. This is some white meat baby face bullshit.
With special powers, they can transform into super mighty monsters and use their skills against all evildoers, especially the diabolical Dr. Dredd and his renegade rowdies, Toad, Fly, Mummy Man, and Vampira. The group, also known as OGR, the Organization of Generally Rotten Enterprises. It's right versus wrong, good over greed, niceness against naughtiness. That's the dedication of the terrific trio, Frankie Howler and Drac Jr., the Drac Pack.
Can I say right now, first off, the first thing I noticed as I was watching this, well, there's a few. One, I never put together this is going to be about Dracula until it started, and I wrote, oh, God, it's Dracula.
The Drac Pack.
What did you think, Ray?
Jen, I didn't think. I put no thoughts into what I was watching until it got started. I had no impression based on the title.
Drac Pack. And you had no thought at all what Drac Pack might be.
I figured they would tell me, and they did. Now, the big thing that I took away from this intro, though, well, two things. One, as you said, a new generation of teenagers trying to get away from their parents' legacies of evil. Frankenstein really didn't do anything wrong that I remember. He maybe gave Abbott and Costello a hard time, but he was the victim. in those movies. So this is a little bit of BS as far as I'm concerned. Frankenstein owes us nothing. Of course, I'm referring to the doctor, not the monster.
But right, the right, of course. The doctor here, just trying to make science.
Just trying to make some science. Neither one. They're fine. This is what RFK Jr. is shutting down. The point I'm trying to make here is the second thing. I think this show would play well in the year 2025 because near as I can tell, the theme is white boys versus diversity. And the white boys are our heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, I feel like Drac looks Italian. So I don't know how that plays in today's 2025, but he looks Italian.
Was here. I just say, I think Dr. Dredd, his team's a little woke. Yeah, I
a little
said
too
it.
Woke. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got Fly, Vampira, Toad, Mummy Man.
Mummy Man, he dresses different. So yeah. I'm just saying right now, this is the great fight of our... of our incel population versus the woke mob. And I think that I'm surprised that they haven't turned this into an original special on Twitter. Like they did that other, non-woke comedy that no one watched.
The Roseanne special.
No, the one they did on Twitter that was animated. And their big joke was that the guy doesn't like change.
What?
Okay, people at home know what I'm talking about.
I'm remembering what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, honestly, that's what leads to all of Dr. Dredd's, I feel like, downfall and disappointment is that he has expectations. Instead of just like letting life come as it may, he has such high expectations. There's only down to go.
This is very true. Now, here's the deal. I found what I was looking for here. It's called The New Norm. And we could do its own deal because these episodes are only like 3.5 minutes long. In fact, according to this, I have episode 5, which is 1:19 long. And I'm going to share it right now. And we're going to watch it together. So here's YouTube. And here's The New Norm's 1:19.
What the hell's this?
He's meant to be Archie Bunker for a new generation, Chan. You got off of Twitter even before I did, and I'm off it as well for a long while now, so don't write me there. But this is a show that's against wokeness, and he's Archie Bunker, except in this case, instead of being a racist who's always shown to be wrong, he's a racist who's shown to be right. See, that's the difference in now. So let's enjoy together. Can y'all hear that?
This is awful.
What?
You're a meme coin millionaire.
I have $1 million?
In Solana.
Samoa?
It's not a place. It's a currency. Crypto.
My money's in a crypt?
It's in your wallet.
See, what's hilarious about this... He doesn't know what crypto is, but somehow he bought lots of it.
Yeah, of course.
Jan, any thoughts so far?
No. I have to put up with this Drac Pack bullshit, and then you bring in possibly something even worse. And
this looks like when Rick and Morty watch interdimensional TV.
No,
like a normal sitcom, like what a normal family would look like.
It does sound like they're making the lines up as they go. They're just straight improvising with untrained improvisers.
Which is crazy because it's only 1 minute long. Let's keep going.
My wallet's empty.
Your digital wallet.
How do I get meme coin money into my real wallet?
Sell your norm coins. Here, just enter your password.
He's doing a pump and dump, everybody. He's committing crimes. It's Hawk-Tua.
It's Hawk-Tua.
Anyway.
What?
I forgot my password.
You forgot your password?
I thought meme coins were a joke.
They are jokes.
Worth millions.
And you can't sell any of them.
No!
The acting in this is phenomenal. These are the highest tier voice actors we're going to find. I believe at least half of them are from Fox News, which means they are government officials now.
Jeez.
Anyway, we got 20 seconds to go. Here we go.
No, no.
New Norm Fantasy.
Oh, a musical number.
Norm. Norm. Fantasy.
This isn't very good at all. I guess that was a theme song of the new norm. Anyway,
what I'm trying to say is
that's the show that Chan needs to know about.
I repent my liberalness now. I've realized the error of my ways.
Yeah, that pink-haired guy with the mask on sure doesn't know what he's talking about.
Nope.
Chan, your thoughts.
Go fuck yourself.
Anyway, we're talking about the Drac Pack. Mm-hmm. And I've made my points. It's a happy birthday episode. So, Chan, thank you for the happy birthday wishes, even though the last thing you said to me was to go fuck myself.
That's all I have. That is all you're going to be hearing from me for the rest of this goddamn godforsaken episode.
I mean, here's the deal.
I chose this. This is my fault. I have brought this on myself. I am not happy about it.
No, well, how about this? How about how prescient? This is like The Simpsons. Drac Pack predicted cupcakes as birthday cakes. They predicted this in 1980, and they were right.
Huge. Huge.
They were completely...
You call that crumb a cake?
Yeah.
Okay, first off, as someone who now has a child... who slaves away, makes dinner every night, occasionally like bakes things, like makes things out of just general love. I am going to make, you know, cupcakes for you, my family. To have the guy be just like, Toad's like, I made this. I didn't go down to Sprinkles. I didn't go down to the, Sprinkles vending machine and buy this shit. I made this for you. And then for him to splat it like that, oh my dear God.
Yeah.
If
it was rude.
Someone ever did that, I would lose my banana pants.
It's the gesture that counts, not the grandiosity and size of the cupcake.
What I heard is that Chan is full of love.
I was. And then you showed me the new norm.
Was it? I'll be honest, when this show episode started, was not expecting to drop an entire episode of The New Norm in the middle of it. But here we are.
We better not.
Comes at you fast.
DMCA over this.
God, I mean, wouldn't it be for the best, though? The point I'm saying here, this is Vampira. Now, is this the same Vampira as was in Plan 9 from Outer
Space?
Myla
Nurmi, here's the thing. I went looking, and I could not find anything which suggests to me that they straight up stole her name, image, likeness, did not bear a red cent for it. Because I think it was before this when they basically created Elvira. They the television station wanted Vampira, and then like at the last minute, like realized they could just bring in Cassandra Peterson to do the same shtick for way less money. And so just like Vampira came in to sign the papers and like, by the way, we got this girl here. Good.
Whoa. Well, I just looked up the real Vampira because I was wondering if she had passed away like before this had happened, thus avoiding the lawsuit. But no, she lived till 2008, died in Hollywood at the age of 85.
Yeah.
And the big thing I just read, she claimed she had a child with Orson Welles.
Well,
he was married to Rita Hayworth at the time.
Oh.
There are a lot of things that I think are part of the myth that she helped create. She's like I don't want to say proto-Angelina, since like Angelina also, you know, I think took a lot from her as well.
Yeah.
If you listen to Dana Gould's podcast, he talks about her a lot. He was very good friends with her, especially like, you know, the last few years of her life. So there's, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
So she's have creating her
$80
own hype.
T-shirt that I. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
No, no, please tell us your Angelina story.
Oh, I want a meet and greet.
Are you saying Angelina? Or are you talking about Angeline?
I
Angeline.
Throw on an extra syllable because there's a streamer that I watch too, and I just get shit.
Angelina Jolie is also famous, and I have an Angelina story too. So Erica, you go first, and then I'll do mine.
Mid pandemic, I want a meet and greet with her, and I was like, oh, how fun! So I show up to Gower Gulch, LA local reference.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get local work. So I'm making a local joke. Love and she had the pink Corvette. And I was like, oh, cool. We get to meet her. And it was like, you have to buy. And like the cheapest thing was $80 to have the photos. And an intern, unpaid intern, was the one taking our photos. And it was not worth it. It was delightful. I'll have that t-shirt till I die. But it was the worst $80 I ever spent.
Was
it worth $80?
How many times have you dined off that story? I would argue if you haven't, you know, made your $80 back yet, you will soon.
I did wear that shirt to drag con, like the drag queen convention. And when people would go, who's that on your shirt? I would get to tell the drag queens, this is this LA LA person. So you should do her for Snatch Game. Like I was selling her hard as a Snatch Game character. So when that happens, I will go, that's me. I did that. I made that happen.
I love it.
Yeah.
So I'll go quick with mine. Angeline, for those who don't know, she's an LA celebrity. She drives a pink Corvette. She wanted to be a model. She bought billboards all over the city, basically being like, I'm Angeline, a great model. She married like some rich guy. And then just spent all his money on this. Like, and good for her, too. Let me just say that. That's empowerment. I'm here to support Angeline. That said, back in about 2021, 2022, I was working at a mobile company at Nifty Games on the NFL Clash game. It's not there anymore. Don't worry about it. But I was picking up lunch for the entire team, and I was at the stand in Calabasas. This is how glamorous my life has been. Since I've been doing this show, and I was coming out with these bags of the lunch, and I took a step to go towards my car, and all of a sudden I see a car going way too fast in this parking lot, and it almost like runs me over. I have to like kind of take a half step backwards and look as it does stop in time, but like urgently. And I look over and I'm about like, who is this mother? I'm about to just go off. And it was the pink Corvette of Angeline. And I saw the license plate and I said to myself, I can't even be mad at you. I waved with excitement, even though I almost died 5 seconds earlier. That's her power.
Angeline almost killed you. And that is a story you can tell now.
Yeah. No, I don't regret any of it, just for the record. And in fact, part of me wishes she had, because what a legacy.
What a way to go.
Legacy for us all. That could be how I'm remembered. The guy that Angeline killed. I'd be on Wikipedia. She kills mid-tier podcaster Race to Canis.
I would wear my Angeline shirt and go, this is R.I.P. to Ray. Like, I would immortalize
that to
you.
The vigil.
Of course.
That you're knowing is half the podcast t-shirts.
And then tell the drag queens about Ray.
Yes.
Can live on.
Ray becomes a character on the Snatch Game. Okay. Deep plans are being set right now.
Guys, where's my time machine? I got to go back and end myself.
I have a huge drag queen following myself, so I will intercept this one there.
I love it. No, I'm here for all of the above. Anyway, we're talking about the drag pack.
We'd be fine going this entire episode without mentioning this fucking show even once.
So the basic premise of this episode of the drag pack is that the villain is Dr. Dredd, not Dr. Dre, who clearly ripped it off Dr. Dredd. Actually, the way Dr. Dredd's pattern and intonations happened, Chan, did it feel like Steve Carell kind of stole from this character to do the voice of Gru for the Despicable Me movies? Because I really got that vibe.
They're all biting Bela Lugosi, so...
It's true, but I feel like this is a direct one-to-one. Erica, what do you think?
It's very, I'll give you that. I'm very, I also feel like another hit on to your the Boys Against Diversity, Dr. Dredd feels very queer coded to me. Very
much so, yeah.
And I'm like, why are these young upstarts trying to take him down?
Is there a supervillain who is not queer coded? Is there any
not in this time period
oriented villain that doesn't prance around like this?
All right, well, let's hear a little bit of his voice, just because I want the people at home to really understand this. So this is a happy birthday, Dr. Dredd. Oh, it's with no A, apparently. Don't worry about that. So let's hear a little bit of what Dr. Dredd sounds like.
And so will thousands of others.
And the litters will last for hours.
Okay, I thought he was going to talk a little bit more than that. Don't worry about that. He very much is a Gru. I'm trying to find another clip.
Go to 134, Ray.
Just 134? Love it. Thank you, Chan. See, Chan's got my back on this.
I really don't, but...
I know.
What, you call that crumb a birthday cake? That miniature muffin?
But I baked it myself.
You half-baked fumblers, my birthday is a big event. So big that the whole world must know, and I'll see that it does.
I mean, pretty great. Also, that's exactly like Vampire. That's outrageous.
And they were swatting Toad the whole time. Did you guys notice the like
swatter.
With his own? Yes.
Yeah.
Like Vampira gets at him. Everyone's just swatting that poor man.
So, the gist of this episode is that Dr. Dredd wants everyone to know it's his birthday. And so he does bigger and bigger evil, I guess, to get attention, to drive the fact that it's his birthday. I'm going to be unpopular, or maybe very popular. He has done nothing wrong in this entire episode. He's been annoying, but he hasn't like done anything wrong.
This is my point. He's supposed to be the bad guy, okay, but what does he do? Drac Jr. says he's disturbing the peace. This fucking cop. Not even an appointed cop. He's just like, "Ew, you're making too much noise. I'm going to call the authorities, or I'm just going to do it myself."
There were two blonde bimbos on the beach who had their beach day ruined by the cloud that his dirigible spelled "Happy Birthday, Dr. Dredd" in. So you tell me he didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, two blondies. I'm so sorry. A cloud ruined your day. People who've never had a problem in life. Are you out of your mind? I mean, look, so here's the deal. A lot of hijinks ensue. They do skywriting, and then, whatever. And then his minion, so Toad, who did the cupcake, wants to do right. And he takes Vampira with him, and they go in the helicopter of Dredd to just do something nice. And I'm like, these are like the nicest villains of all time. Honestly, these are cozy villains, near as I can tell. It's, they belong in Animal Crossing minus Tom Nook. I mean, like, these are some of the coziest villains I've ever seen. And the Drag Pack are just imbeciles. At some point, they lose a little bit of vision because of the clouds and the sky riding. And so they drive their car into the goddamn ocean, like 500 feet offshore, to the point where two freighters are about to hit them.
But wait. Frankenstein uses his muscles and keeps the boats from crashing.
Wow.
Pushes
First off,
them
the
away.
Boats are already going to crash into each other. That's not great. That's bad piloting. Piloting? Seamanship?
Steering?
Steering wheel?
Steer a boat.
Yeah, there's
a bunch of nautical experts here. Of course, we nailed it.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
TV. Check. Cosmic Arc cartridge. Check. Power.
We have power.
Cosmic Arc is a game cartridge for the Atari video system.
Meteor! I got it!
The Cosmic Arc searches out strange creatures on distant planets.
Remember!
But the deeper the Arc travels in space, the tougher it gets.
Did I never get back to Earth?
Boys, clean your room.
We're back.
Cosmic Arc via Magic. The video system must be bought separately and connected to the TV by your parents.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Go back to 226.
You're going to keep dragging us backwards, Chan.
Yeah, I was looking for a chunk of Drac Jr. There's something about him that really rubbed me the wrong way, and I was trying to figure out what it is. In some of it is just like the eyebrows are.
For the record, never tell Robert Clark Chan that you're on a timer because he'll drag your show back to 226.
Oh, you goddamn right. Go ahead and play this right here.
Let's hear it.
Not quite right. It needs some of this and a touch of this.
Oh, right. Do you know what you're doing?
Okay, go ahead.
Are you kidding?
The eyebrow. Yeah, I hear you.
The thing is that I realized visually what he is. He's fucking Tim Curry. Like they just looked at Dr. Frankenfurter and was like, all right, yeah. let's do this up. And then I was listening to it. I was like, did they steal, you know, like the rest of it? And they don't. It's just random Hanna-Barbera 70s teen character, which is, I think, the problem that I was having was that I wanted Tim Curry and I got fucking one of the Partridge Family or something.
That's true.
It was clashing and gears were grinding in my head the whole time. So
yum.
That's fair. Well, the second thing that Dr. Dredd does is he plugs in a giant light-up sign over the neighborhood that says, like, happy birthday, Dr. Dredd. And I'm sorry, the Scientologists have been doing this to East Hollywood for decades now, and nobody's trying to knock their sign over because they'll murder you. But the point I'm trying to make is don't try to knock over the Scientologist sign.
You know, L. Ron Hubbard Way, it's like that street, is an actual public street. They're going to say it's private. That is a LA. You pay taxes. You can walk on that street. You will get pamphlets in your mailbox forever. And they will ruin your life. But you pay taxes and you can walk on that street. They're going to pretend like it's private, but it is a city street.
Man, here's at least someone would notice me. And I think I'm in favor. You know what? I thought about it. How much money do you have to make to consider Scientology?
I mean, I think you're like at like 500 to 800 grand to get to like OT5.
It's just never gonna happen.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a toughie.
I have a sound drop here because there was one more line that I absolutely wanted to hear because I couldn't believe they said it out loud on the show. Try this on.
Hey, look, a real big D.
Hold it.
Look, a real big D, as the D from the sign falls on the heroes.
Hey.
Yep.
Oh, they're just teaching children letters. Do you hate literacy, Ray?
Yeah.
Look, I enjoy me a letter of the day. Don't get me wrong. Clap, clap.
Clap, clap.
P, Q, N. L, D, they're just letters. Teaching the children.
Sure. No, you know what? I went wrong somewhere.
Just
kidding. We're
going
into the final phase, everybody.
Yeah.
And this is, I have trouble with this plot point because Dr. Dredd has got a bunch of missiles. And he has planted them, basically set them in a circle around the house of our heroes. Just put them on the yard, basically. And he says, I'm going to press a button, and all these missiles are going to go off, and they're going to shoot the house into space with our heroes in it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's how missiles work.
Okay, so you're speaking our physics. You're not realizing we're in the Drac Pack land of physics.
Yeah.
Let me pull out this whiteboard where I do these equations here and show you.
Thank you, Bill Nye.
How these missiles planted around their HQ. We'll launch them into space.
Don't understand. I feel like the new norm has better physics than this. And then that's saying something.
I will say Vampira's hair is goals this whole episode. I was just like, wow, stunning. I bring in an image to my barber?
I'm going to say right now, Vampira has been something to strive to be close to, if not be, since the 1960s.
Yeah.
Chan, what are you showing us right now?
A bat.
That is young Drac.
Yep.
Similar to young Sheldon, we have young Drac as a bat, but he retains his human face.
Of course.
And collar. I hate this so much. That's all. Hate it.
No, thank you. No, I appreciate that.
Hate it. But he still, when he transformed to the bat, he still had time to put on like eyeshadow for dramatic effect. Like there was.
No, he. To be fair, he did have that tattooed on. You know that.
I was about to say, get real. Also, he had that tattooed on.
Yeah,
yeah. He had his eyebrows shaved and had those tattooed on without question.
Mm-hmm.
If you shaved him completely, he'd look like NoHo Hank.
As much as I hate Drac Jr. as a human, I hate him 10 times more as a vampire. So much worse.
It's a bad look. But here's the deal. Toad, who I identify with this Toad character, he wants to do something nice. He sees all the missiles around our hero's house, and he goes, let's collect these and take them back for, I don't know why, a reason. He thinks it's a good idea. If I saw a missile...
He thinks they're inventions that the Drac Pack made, so he's going to steal them and present them to Dr. Dredd as like a present. You know what? Okay.
Yeah, great plan. I like his moxie is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, he's a getter. And, he's a doer.
But in the middle of all of this, see, the problem is that Dr. Dredd has good plan after good plan, I guess. He gets the heroes to go back to their own house, drops a metal cage on them that apparently, despite the fact it has giant openings in it, is immune to powers of mist. But there is internal ventilation, but mist still can't get out because, Chan, I'm going to need some science help with this. I did not follow.
This steel box is vaporproof, windproof, and triple thick. However, there is plenty of internal ventilation. So, little mist cartoon logic, I'm going to need you to explain how something is both vaporproof and has ventilation.
Seems weird.
Okay, so vapor is at a certain weight and oxygen is at a different weight. And so, so of course, like two can exist. That's it's like fog, how it's like different weight, like moisture and air. I'm sorry, my microphone cut out. I can't explain any further past this point. You guys can hear me still, right?
I see no flaw in the argument. Hold on. I actually understand
you're
perfectly.
Picking up. I can't do this anymore.
I froze.
Well, the gist of it all is that they just start howling and making noise to the point where Toad and Vampira think that it's an alarm. So they go to turn off the alarm and end up freeing our heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But then trick them into following them back to the villain's base where they get, I didn't really see how it happened. They get trapped in a cake mold and I don't really know how they fell for that.
Well, they dropped it out of the.
It's like a dome. Yeah. Like a domed over them.
Just drop it on their heads. I should have just guessed that.
Although to be fair, when this happened, I was like, wait a minute, how did they get out of that box? And I had to rewind to find out how that box because I was literally staring at the screen, watching it this entire time, realized that I had just lost like 5 minutes of my life that I could not recall in any way, shape, or form. Had to go back. That's what this cartoon will do to you.
Do you see that though, Chan? And this is the difference between me and you. We just brain froze and tuned out at different points in the show.
Well, the thing is, I usually don't. This is some next level ish. This is so bad.
I have no notes. I watched it twice voluntarily.
Oh God!
Took took notes the first time. The second time, just watched it for me. Just like, this one's for Curry. You get this one for you.
Eric, I have a question for you. How do you feel about lollipop dragons? Would you be interested in completing a circuit on that?
Oh, I'll go. I mean, listen. I'm in a dark place. I'll go. I'll do it.
Okay. Jen, just line
no,
up.
I will not start a spinoff podcast.
There's only two episodes of it, and we got one in the books. We could close the circuit. So here we go.
Fucking
also, Toad has planted all the fireworks around the villain's house for reasons.
He wraps them all, but he wants to present them. Like, it'll be a present.
That's fantastic. That's great. They decorate the entire cake and honestly do a pretty good job. Drek loves the giant birthday cake.
I don't understand it because he spray paints it and then it becomes
a cake. Yeah, that's how bakers do it, Chan.
Yeah.
Learn some craft.
I mean, honestly, they kind of do. Like, when I saw them using airbrushing on one of those baking shows, I was like, well, what the fuck? How are we doing that now? All right.
Surprise.
Yeah. It's just the concrete's like fondant. It's just.
It's all it is. And it tastes the same.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Look, here's the deal. Frankenstein gets mad. Frankie gets mad and he blows out the cake from the inside. Yet later in the episode, the cake is fully formed and still intact. I don't know if we jump to parallel reality, if everybody forgot that he blew out the entire cake. I also said, is this guy just Hulk from Timu? Chan, you're our resident Timu expert. Can you answer that?
No, he's not, because he would also have to be racist. We're talking about Hulk Hogan, right?
We're talking about the Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner.
The time
Banner.
Has passed where we can say bad things about dead people now?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Is it wild that Hulk Hogan passed? And look, I will tangent for Robert Clark Chan. Hulk Hogan passed, and it's normally very sad. I don't celebrate the death of any human. Mm. You know, I'm indifferent sometimes, sure. But even like when some very cosmically terrible people have died, I've still felt a little weird inside about it. And it was wild that when Hulk Hogan died, literally not a single person that I came across in any facet of life had anything but rancor and rage and shittiness to say about Hulk Hogan. And I agreed with them.
My dad did say, what's wrong with, what do you mean? What's, but I was at home when it had passed and he's like, what's the matter? And I go, oh, he's like a racist, union busting, like, and he was like, I haven't heard of any of that. I'm like, oh, you haven't heard of Hulk Hogan past 1988. Like, I was like, what a beautiful world to live in. We're like, our heroes or people we know live in one time and space and dimension and have never done anything past this. And so I sent like three, you know, articles off and he was like, That ain't good.
you know what I say to him? I say, give me one moment in time. That's what I say to him because he's living in it. Good for him.
It's great. Yeah.
The flip side of the coin to Angeline. He has created his own myth about himself, but he's just a fucking bastard. Like Angeline
reviled.
Is like, you go beyond just like, lies or tales told out of school and you craft a myth about yourself. But like, honestly, I can't believe that Angelina has done anything worse than like yell at one of her and all of her unpaid interns at some point.
I can't believe that you still call her Angelina because that's really bothering me now.
Did I say Angelina again?
I believe you did.
I feel like I cut off that last schwa.
Here's the deal. Fuck Hulk Hogan. The point I'm trying to make is,
if they do the Drac, please don't film it because his
not at this point. That'd be weird, man.
Honestly, arguably less weird than what he did while he was alive.
I'm so full.
He was a horrible racist, and it's like not even like the first thing I hate him for.
Yeah. He took Gawker away from me.
Top five, man. I don't know.
I mean, it might make the top five, but he did so many terrible things and was such a piece of crap that like, yeah, the fact he was racist, it was almost like ancillary to the argument. terrible to say, but that's how I feel.
The show is running short. We're going on an extended tangent, and we're still going to make it to the end of this thing because it's
Dr. Tread sends the track pack home. I'm crying with tears. And then the Missy says, let's send them home so we can shoot the missiles. And Toad's like, hey, wait a minute. Hey, I got something to tell you. Shut up, Toad. And he presses the button. They launch off into orbit. And that's basically the end of the episode.
Yeah. But Dr. Dredd sends him home because he goes, I don't want any fighting on my birthday.
Right.
Dr. Dredd still thinks the missiles are at Drakpak HQ. Mm-hmm. Toad's trying to interrupt and be like, no, I brought him back. And he goes, oh, you know. And so they're like, pretty weird that he let us go.
Weird, right?
Oh, so beautiful.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that's Drakpak, a show, I mean, I'm pretty sure we'll be revisiting if Robert Clark Chan has anything to say about it.
Sometimes I'll hate myself for choosing things.
See, that's the thing. You often pick shows to punish me and Gina, and then you end up being punished most of all. That's a look into the psyche of Robert Clark Chan.
I mean, that is a look into the history of this podcast.
One and the same.
If you need me to stretch for time, I'll just reread the opening again. From the monsters of the past. I'm sorry. Okay.
Erica, that is actually, we are towards the end of the episode. We're hitting the timer. Yes. So tell people where they can find you, plug any projects you have going on. I would love to get you some views.
Thank you. Yes, you can find me at Iconic Erica Curry on Instagram. Would really love to plug my Poshmark under the same name. You can wear the clothes that I used to wear. I will be doing things sporadically at the PAC Theater, and would love to just wish Horses and Ray a belated happy birthday.
I took second tier to Horses on my own show, ladies and gentlemen.
There's more Horses, Ray. There's more Horses.
Not if I have anything to do about it. This is my villain origin story.
No, oh, God. Remember when we used to have Horses? Yeah. That's how Ray got sad. It's just Children of Men, but Horses.
and then Angeline finally, Final Destinations, and hits me with the car 10 years from now. And then somebody has to Photoshop the Iron Sheik tweet to say, fuck the Ray. And like, it all comes full circle on this episode.
Boom. And that's called a herald.
It's a Donnie Darko situation. You're going to realize you need to go back. Otherwise,
I got to go back to the island, Chan. I got to get those horses back. Anyway, Chan, I know you have nothing to plug. AE Double Back. You should probably listen to it if you like wrestling.
Why wouldn't you?
A show I've still never appeared on, despite the fact we've done like 3 crossovers with this show. What's up with that, Chan?
Wow.
Oh.
I heard a rumor you guys record on Wednesdays. I'm often free on Wednesdays. I don't know.
Wow. I don't know if it's a big... I've appeared on the show. I've been on AEW.
What is happening right
now? It's actually a really fun show to do. You should try to do it sometime. It's really fun.
I keep trying, but I keep hitting roadblocks somehow.
Oh, my goodness.
Done? That's the show. Dan, any last words about any of this?
Fall into fall. You leave. Just the pun. I have so many jokes written down. Don't leave us behind when they fell into the leaves. You really fell into fall. It was great.
Well, we're officially out of ideas. Good night, everybody.
It's right versus wrong. Good over greed. Niceness against naughtiness. That's the dedication of the terrific trio, Frankie, Howler, and Drak Jr. The Drak Pack.
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures.
But Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like...
Is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them. If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.